sections of prayer. But there's a prayer we say in the month of Ramadan. And it's finished with one rak'ah. Only one section finishes it. We say two sections and we read salam. What about that? We stand up for a third section and we pray one rak'ah. And we finish it. Only one. And God says, you know, scripture says that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there's going to come a time when only one blast will stand the dead up. And that's what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused, keep stay clear, keep that in mind, and never forget any time and any day you're living. Never forget that your first interest is supposed to be your maker who created you and everything. That should be your first interest. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. And I guarantee you, you won't need any more rak'ahs to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayer. Now, you're obligated. God has obligated us with revelation. Our holy book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will bring up. And Allah says in the Quran, what he says, if anyone sincerely holds on to, there is but one God. Don't make a God with God. Now, you don't have to write it out and say, oh yes, there's another God, and I found him, and I identify him as God such and such and such. No, you already have made a God with God when you make sex the most important thing in your life. When you make anything other than God the most important thing in your life, you've already made a false God, and you put it over God, with or above God. See? So the meaning of idols, even for the idol worshippers in ancient times, those people weren't so stupid that they believed that this cement thing or this clay thing or granite thing that they made could hear them and speak, and they didn't believe that, but they was respected as though it had that power. They come to it, oh, submitting to it. But those who designed their society or the order of their world for them, they knew that those things couldn't speak and couldn't hear. They knew that. But those things represented something else that they respected, a principle or an interest that they held high. The little material monument or little material statue or something was nothing in itself, except that it represented something high in their life. You understand? This was the intelligent people. That's how come intelligent people had those things in their society, and they respected them, and they were able to have education and science. They were able to have government and armies to defend them, sports and a good life with those idols as their gods. That's because the learned among them, or the informed among them, knew that those idols could not do anything in themselves, but they represented a high idea, a high principle. And I wish I could talk to you for 10 hours, but I can't. I have to go soon. I know some of you said, you won't keep me here for 10 hours. Don't be so sure of that. Yes, because when I'm coming to you with what's your soul, wants, your soul will hold you here against your own wishes. Praise be to Allah. So the keeping the interest straight, keeping the interest before you and keeping it protected from other interests, replacing it or threatening it or going against it, that is what preserves life. That is what preserves life. And if God is that interest, your life will be preserved for sure. Lost interest means lost life. Our people as a whole, we had more of a life as a people. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about as a people. We had more of a life as slaves than we have now in this time of freedom and plenty. as a people. We had more life as a people during the days of slavery than we have now. Why? Because all of us was of one mind when it came to our life as a people. That mind was, we need help, and this world will not help us. We need God. We need God. That's what our conclusion was. Our only friend is God. Our only help is God. That was our conclusion. Until we found friends of our people to befriend us and work with us for our liberation, for our freedom. That's what we had to depend on, nothing but God. And even when we had friends, they were so few, their means were so small, they had no power to change the government. They had no power to change the government in the South, where slavery was legalized. They had no power to change it. So still, our main help that we turned to consciously was God. Was God. And we cried out so pitifully to God, and we cried out so sincerely to God, that many of us pledged to God, God, if you be our friend, we will never part from you. So we made an oath to God. Once you make a sincere oath to God, you may forget it later. God never forgets. And let me tell you something today in this place at this time. We made a pledge to God. Our ancestors did, our forefathers did, our mothers and fathers did, made a pledge to God. Their pledge to God was accepted by God. He was going to help us anyway, but by us asking him to come and be our friend in those bad circumstances and pledging that we will be faithful to him, it made us have a covenant with God. Yes. The slaves and those leaders who succeeded slavery, who were successful to live beyond the time of slavery, those leaders, those first leaders, they formed an agreement with God, and they had a covenant with God. A covenant with God. That means an agreement that's legal before God, agreement that's binding before God. It has to stay. He has to honor it. It obligates God to honor that agreement. And God does not break the contract because the people forget. He holds us to the contract. Now you wonder how, some of you may be wondering, how come with all of this freedom we got, we are worse off spiritually as a race than we were when times were much harder, or much worse for us? You're wondering. It's because we have failed that contract. We have, our leaders, not just us, our leaders have turned their eyes away from that agreement. And God will never let you go. Once you make an agreement with him, he'll never let you go. So if you don't come back to that agreement, he lets you suffer the consequences until you wake up again to the importance of you remembering your contract or your agreement with God. So what am I saying? I'm saying that black people who suffered slavery in this land, and all those who identify with us, whether they came over here on their own or not, once they got over here, the white man said, you're another nigger. You're another nigger. And they were treated like another nigger. Their circumstances was that of another nigger. And their future was that of another nigger. So they are ours too. They are ours too. You see? So, what I'm saying is this, that because they pleaded to our God for help and he came in and intervened, yes, God intervened and made the situation so that eventually we were freed from physical slavery. But that's not all that God wants for us, just freedom of your bodies. No, the worst enslaved them, as we have been taught by our leaders before, that came before me, or before us, what the worst enslavement was not the physical enslavement or the holding of us bodily. It was the mental enslavement, the holding of our minds. That was the worst enslavement. Here we are belonging to a family of people that didn't come from Europe. But now the thinking of the family from Europe is replacing the thinking of the family from Africa. And pretty soon there's no more African thinking in the mind. There's only European thinking in the mind. But it's an African descendant thinking with a European mind. Now, isn't that a natural conflict?
Yes.
Isn't that a pitiful contradiction?
Yes.
That another man had put his head inside my brain, and I don't have any head of my own anymore? That I think and act and respond and have fun and go to work with his mind? Something is wrong. Now, the body itself rebels against that. My genetic memory in my flesh rebels against that. Doesn't like that. So here it is, white mind in a nigger body, excuse my language, it's done for psychological effect.
Yes.
I'm also a medical doctor. Here it is, mind that got inside this black body from the white head. So I got a white head inside my black head. And my body says, So let me go out and rob a bank. let me start a movement that nobody heard of. Let me get an idea that nobody know anything about. Just do anything. Let me shake the booty until I die. Turn on the music. Keep the music on. Don't stop it. Oh, I went to sleep with my earphones. I got up and got in the car with the earphones. Yeah, I got the earphones on 24 hours a day. I'm shaking the booty all through my sleep. There's a conflict between originality and artificiality. Until you get your own connected back with your own human life and your own human self, what you have imposed upon you is artificiality. But down what God created, deep down in what God created, is still the genuine life. And it hates what you have imposed upon it. And you're suffering problems and conflicts, and you're suffering a behavior that you can't change. You know it doesn't make sense. You know it's crazy the way you live. But you can't throw it off of you. You can't get rid of it. Why? Because you are living with a mind that's not in agreement with your original nature. So your original nature rejected it. So you have war. You got a great war going on in your own life. Within your own life, you got a great war going on. It's a war between the imposed artificiality and the originality that God made. And one will fight the other like cats and dogs. Yes. Life is supposed to be, first of all, intelligent life. When this country wants to succeed and get its freedom, the people of this country, pardon me, during the days of the 13 states and during the days of rule by Europe over the colonies of America. They wanted to get free from that. They didn't want to be ruled by a foreign country or by a country overseas. They wanted to establish their own freedom and have their own country. They had to appeal to the intelligence of the people. Did they just come out with a moral message? Or did they just come out with a spiritual method? Say, we have to believe in God and be strong in our religion? No. They made an appeal to the common sense of the people. And Paine's called to common sense. He called the whole country, all of his countrymen, to common sense. So that all the public here would use their intelligence. And that is how, with the help of others who were opposing the dominance of the Europeans, British, in the new land, America, that is how they got enough people to support the resistance and resisted and established their independence and their freedom. So what am I saying to you, my dear people? I'm saying to you that this spiritual life and spiritual interest are religious rituals, and happiness in the church or the mosque or the, or any other thing that's holding us is not enough. It's not enough. We cannot be governed by pleasures unless it's the pleasure in obeying God. That's the only pleasure that we can be governed by successfully. If we find the greatest pleasure in obeying God, as God has instructed us, then that pleasure can keep us and progress us and have us stronger and stronger. It will never fail us. That pleasure will never fail us. But all other pleasures will fail us eventually. You cannot, even just the pleasure of going and hear a good speaker speaking in religion, I'm going to hear a good sermon, that will not hold you up. That will not keep you hearing a good sermon or a good preacher, whether he's a Muslim or Christian or whatever he is. You need more than that. You need your brain to be put in good order. You need your senses to be put in good order. You need your intelligence to work for you. You hear what I'm saying? If African-American life, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm sure there are many individuals in here who are not victims of what I'm talking about. But it will help you to understand it better. So don't think you're not getting some benefit from what I'm saying. The way I address it and the way I deal with it will help you to better situate yourself, though you are not one of the victims. Or the bad victims, the pitiful victims. Yes, but look at our people as a whole. Whether it's in Newark or New York or Newark, Los Angeles, Chicago, no matter where it is. When you look at our people on the whole, what is governing their life? Pleasures. Pleasures. That's what it is. That's governing their life. Not intelligence, pleasure. Even when they send their children to school to get higher education, to a college. What is the interest behind that? So they won't suffer like me. So they'll have better than I had. So they'll have more of what I got. Huh? That's the interest. And what's behind that? Material accomplishment. Money in the bank. You can pay your rent or buy a house of your choice, etc. So this is all what we call carnal pleasures. Carnal pleasures in religion. This is all for carnal pleasures. How many are motivated by ideas, higher ideas? How many are saying, even if we don't have enough money to have the car of our choice, we want to have the work continue that promotes the idea that we subscribe to? How many are motivated like that? Very, very few. Very, very few.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call outright Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 170-792-750. Outright Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 24409. Or Muslim Jones through local distributors. And thanks for listening.